So walking meditation is to train your mind to be aware of all the movement. The basic four posture is to anchor your bodily awareness. Then the connecting movement between the four posture, you need to maintain clear comprehension and mindfulness to develop the continuity of mindfulness. You can also develop bowing, bow mindfully. Yeah? You can recite, yeah? Like some Mahayana teacher. My refuge teacher has a condition. He said, those who wants to become his disciple, they have to take refuge and develop the compulsory bowing. 10,000 bow over maximum 3 months. So when you bow, you recite homage to the our original teacher, Sakyamuni. In Mandarin, it's easier. Namo Bun Si Sakyamuni Fo. Then you develop the bowing mindfully. Then you come out. Then you bow again. You recite silently within. Namo Bun Si Sakyamuni Fo. So that bowing will develop mindfulness. Then the recitation, you have to recite until the awareness and the recitation become one. Yeah. Then after you develop it, surprisingly, your daily mindfulness will arise. Yeah. In fact, in the year 1986, when my whole family take refuge under Master Xuan Hua, I did the bowing and I finished it in less than 2 months. Then I realized after that my mindfulness stabilized. Yeah. So that bowing is very useful. It also develops self-faith. Yeah. So it's up to you to do it in whatever way that is conducive to your own, maybe peculiar character or approach to develop all this meditative training. Okay, then the other 15 minutes is for you to develop the contemplation. Yeah? The contemplation can be done anywhere within the vicinity of the temple. Sometimes after 45 minutes of sitting or walking or lying down, you want to go and develop the contemplation, you can mindfully arise. Then mindfully pay your respect, walk out. Develop all the movement with mindfulness. Then you can look for either a bench somewhere or the corridor, or even walk out of the temple. Do your reflection and contemplation. Look at nature. Look at the surrounding. Silence your mind to develop the contemplative wisdom, which the Buddha called the second turning. Then you can reflect on the four noble truths, especially the first noble truth. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Yeah. Then the morning chanting, Rupang Anichang, Vedanang Anichang, Sanya Anichang, Sankara Anichang, Vinyanang Anichang. What is the meaning? How can you develop understanding of Rupang Anichang? How come we say all of form, external form, the bodily form, they are all impermanent? You must have that direct seeing, the awakening and the understanding to really have that type of understanding to recite with understanding. I remember during the early years when I trained myself, I contemplate, reflect until so clear, until my understanding is so stable. Then when I went to Thailand, my teacher's way place, the morning chanting, the monks, 3:45 a.m., they wake up, they do the chanting. When I heard this, Rupang Anichang, my nature become very different. It like raise up, and there is so much clarity. Like everything I come to perceive or observe, all the form, I understand why is rupang anicchang. That's why I can share with you why form is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. We live in a conditioned world where everything follows the conventional conditioned dhamma. So conditioned dhamma need condition to arise. That is the most important. That's why the Buddha say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. If you penetrate, this stanza alone can awaken you. Just like how Venerable Sariputta, he awakened when Venerable Asaji just recite to him what he heard from the Buddha. And all these are possible if you have the faith, the mindfulness and the understanding.